and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and especially to Cindy and Hannah, Devin, Mallory, Madison, and Alexander. Well, dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, St. Mark's gospel ends like it began. St. Mark is bullish on confessing that Jesus is God's Son. Check it out. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. At his baptism in the Jordan, the Father declares, "You, Jesus, are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Mark 1:11. And now at the end, in Mark 15:39, we hear it again. From out of nowhere and totally unexpected, someone at the foot of the cross dares to declare it again. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Which man is the Son of God? According to a centurion, of all people, the mocked, brutally beaten, nailed, and hung on the wooden cross as a capital criminal, graveyard dead Jesus is the Son of God. Really? That dead man hanging on the cross is the Son of God? Yes, absolutely, truly he is. Let there be no doubt about it. And that's why the centurion says, "Truly, the corpse suspended on the cross is the Son of God." Now, we would have expected someone else to make such a confession. Peter, James, John, Matthew. Good Lord, surely his mother would have said such a thing. How about Mary Magdalene? How come she doesn't say anything? But no. The soldier who is most likely in charge of the brutal crucifixion is the one who tells the truth. Frankly, forthrightly, bluntly, he makes no bones about it. Listen again to what he says. "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Doesn't the centurion realize what such a confession of the faith might cost him? Is he now a follower of this Jesus? Is he now a disciple of this Jesus? Is he now a Christian? In the Roman Empire, Christians got blamed for all the empire's problems. And so this centurion is on thin ice. He could lose his military rank, be dishonorably discharged for saying such a thing, confess the crucified Jesus as the Son of God, and he could lose his fat paycheck. And let me tell you, Google it. Centurions made a ton of money more than the soldiers under their charge. He could lose that. He could lose his retirement, his reputation, his family and friends. What's more, he could even lose his life. The bold confession, "Truly this man was the Son of God," could lead the centurion to be arrested and jailed and taken to the Roman Colosseum. And there in front of a sold-out stadium, his body would be ripped apart by the lions, or burned in a vat of super hot oil, or, like they did to many Christians in those days, viciously hung on a cross like that man Jesus to the full delight and full-throated cheers of the Colosseum crowds. Obviously, the centurion doesn't give a rip. He is not ashamed to confess the truth. He is willing, as Jesus said earlier in Mark's gospel, the centurion is willing to deny himself, to take up his cross and follow Jesus. The soldier in charge of 100 wants everyone to hear the good news of salvation. "Truly, listen up, truly this man was the Son of God." Jesus was the Son of God's Savior for him. He is Son of God's Savior for you. Son of God's Savior for the world, the only one, and the only way. Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the Son of God for you and for your salvation. Jesus wrapped himself up with all your sin, the world's sin, and the centurion's sins, numbered with the transgressors, Isaiah prophesied. And so carrying all sin, even all your sin, this man, Jesus, was counted and damned as the sinner. And that's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that your sins don't belong to you anymore. Why? Because Jesus took them. And by his death on the cross, you are completely and totally forgiven. Yes, truly this man was the Son of God. Now, Cindy, Hannah, Devon, Madison, Mallory, and Alexander, and all of you gathered here today at Trinity Congregation, is that your confession too? Huh? Is it? Is it? Huh? Good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank God. God bless you. In addition, yes, indeed, God bless you. But in addition, listen carefully now. May God protect you. And may he embolden you. And may he keep you faithful in declaring and believing, truly this man is the Son of God. Why do I say that? Because we, by making such a confession, it may cost you dearly. Especially the six who were up front here. We live in a world where being a follower of Jesus or a disciple of Jesus is quite dicey. And it's quite dangerous. Just like it was at the time of living in the Roman Empire some 2,000 years ago. Now, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen. Really, I do not want this to happen. But do not be surprised. When you get a bad grade in class, I'm looking for the rest of them. When people don't want to hang around with you anymore, when you're not accepted into college, when you don't get the job that you want, when you get let go from the job that you have, when you lose friends, family, and reputation, property, and social status, why? Because you're a Christian. Because you boldly confess like the centurion, truly this man is the Son of God. For such a confession, you may be labeled a religious extremist. That's the talk. Listen carefully to the bigwigs today. That's how they describe you people. And guys like me. A fanatical lunatic, they call us. Psychotic, haters, enemies of freedom and the country. And I'm here to tell you that if you stick with this, truly this man is the Son of God confession, then everything may be taken away from you, perhaps even your life. Do you remember the questions, catechumens, that I asked you earlier as you're seated out there in the congregation? Remember? Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession, church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Well, catechumens, your promises may be put to the test sooner rather than later by the world, by the devil, and your old sinful flesh, the old Adam. But I'm also here to tell you something else. That when the testing comes, and believe me, it will come in some way, shape, or form. When the testing comes, you will know what to say. Because now the centurion's words are your words. Truly that man is the Son of God. He put his name on me in holy baptism. He has rescued me from death and the devil. He has fed me with his body and blood and the holy sacrament. And his promise to me is whoever confesses me before men, so I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus also made me another promise, world, devil, and sinful flesh. Listen carefully. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So when that time comes, there you go. That's what you'll say. And you'll willingly suffer whatever they throw at you. And whatever they throw at you, and as you suffer it, you know what will happen? The devil doesn't win. The devil loses. And God wins. Because Jesus already has won in his bloody death on the cross for all of you. So Cindy and Hannah and Devin and Madison, Mallory and Alexander, happy confirmation day today. May your baptisms bear much fruit in your life as you confess Jesus to be the Son of God for your salvation and for the resurrection of your bodies on the last day. In the name of Jesus.